Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf. The Major League Baseball scoreboard this afternoon. The Pirates in the bottom of the third lead at Colorado, 1-0. Arizona in the top of the third leads the Dodgers 1-0. Texas leads Oakland 2-0 in the bottom of the first. The Orioles and Nationals about 5 minutes away, or when the Pope says they can play. Just kidding.
Pope is now leaving D.C., and we'll have Francis on the fours throughout the afternoon.
It's the Pope.
There's I understand, but I just find it funny that all these news organizations are covering pretty much a religious event when normally they just let it go.
No, this is different. I mean, when you are the vicar of Christ to hundreds of millions around the world, including millions in this country, it's pretty significant.
Only though in America would we have free Pope tickets on Craigslist with a rosary for $150.
Exactly.
That's capitalism right there.
Yep. And that's also a P.T. Barnum moment. All right.
That's true. That's true. That's like when you purchase tickets for an event and you pay face value for the tickets and another $200 for the pencil.
Exactly. Ross Insana joins us from MLB Network. I already updated the Major League Baseball scoreboard. Ross, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, great to talk to you, Steven. It's funny you bring up those last two teams, the Tigers and the Braves. Complete opposite this year, so we're not going to be worrying about them making the playoffs this year.
Absolutely not. Now, the Pirates are in, and we're waiting to see the Cubs then clinch, Dodgers, Mets. We were talking earlier in the show that we think that once you get to the postseason, it should be actually aligned 1 through 5 and not have the two wild cards play the game. Instead, it should be the two teams with the worst record playing the game. What are your thoughts?
I agree with that. There's been some recent talk. I think Theo Epstein, coincidentally of the Cubs, Theo Epstein actually pushed something about a 3-game series for the wild card, not necessarily along the lines of what you just brought up, but he discussed the idea of having a doubleheader to start off the series and then play a day game the next day. So, but that got completely trashed out of the way. But I like your idea that why not go in to the playoffs and reseed and do like you said, because look at what happened last year. The two bottom wild card teams, the second wild card teams, which didn't exist a few years ago, made it to the World Series. I wholeheartedly agree with your statement.
Yeah, I look at it because you play 76 games within your division. That's 47%. You play 53% out of the division. That's why I think that's where the logic stands, that winning the division should get you in, but overall record should determine what your seed is.
I mean, and then look at the case at the NL Central, and a lot of people are saying they might need to change your format of the playoffs as we're talking right now, that this year in the NL Central might be a rare case, but the rare case is that the three best teams in the National League right now, only one of them is going to make it through the DS. So, and you want quite possibly the best baseball down the stretch in the playoffs. So, maybe something after this year, the next labor agreement, something might be tinkered here and there with the playoffs, but it's unfortunate that, like I said, one of the Cardinals, Cubs, and Pirates will make it. Just one of the teams will make it out of the DS, but it's going to make for some good healthy competition down the stretch.
All right, what are the prime story takeaways right now at MLB Network
that may be flying a bit under the radar because it is football season and baseball is trying to still find a foothold?
I definitely think it's that the battle for the AL West. Look at the Astros. They were the darlings of baseball throughout the year. They were the team that worst record in baseball over the past 2-3 years, getting the number one overall pick, and Jeff Luhnow coming in with the St. Louis Cardinals and building everything from the ground up, the guy that's all sabermetric heavy, and bringing in a young team led by Jose Altuve, and they're in first place all year long, and everyone was wondering, will this team go down? Can anyone knock them off their perch? And led by also Dallas Keuchel, a guy that's a front runner for AL Cy Young, until last week when they caught a hot Texas Rangers team, coincidentally, in the AL West, and the Astros were in first place for 120-some days, and the Rangers swept them last week, and now the Rangers are ahead of 3 games in the AL West, and the Astros might not even make the playoffs right now. They got the, if I'm not mistaken, they have the Angels and the Twins on their tail for that second wild card spot, so they could go from leading the AL West division 1 week, and then possibly a week and a half later, they might not even make the playoffs.
That's right.
It's not the Mets of a few years ago losing the division, but I mean, when you have a first place stranglehold for many months of the season, on top of an extra playoff added, and you still can't make the playoffs. The Rangers have just been absolutely hot. Shinsu Choo has had a torrid second half of the season. They got Derek Holland and Martin Perez back in their rotation. They've been phenomenal. Cole Hamels has ignited that starting rotation. And you can't go past giving Jeff Banister some credit. He might win. He's probably the front runner now if they win the division of winning AL Manager of the Year now in his first season coming over from the Pirates. So I think it's gotten a little bit of traction, but I think more on the Astros side that people were predicting that this team's going to fall, and they might, the mighty might be falling soon.
Ross, what's the feeling in the building about Scott Boras getting involved in the Mets season, about the innings pitched by Matt Harvey and how they're handling Matt Harvey? Should an agent have that much say as to what's going on with a player as opposed to the club?
I think the feeling's mixed. People are seeing both sides of the spectrum. There's not really any. I hate to beat around the bush on this answer, but it's true. There's not really much of a consensus answer. There are some people that are saying that it might be the right thing to do. It might be the wrong thing to do. But in my opinion, I agree that an agent shouldn't have this much push or pull on a guy's innings limit. But to be quite honest, I don't know if it was much of Boras's opinion as it was Dr. James Andrews. Harvey did say that Dr. Andrews was the one that prescribed them the innings cap originally. And then it just so happened that Scott Boras, he was the one that got it out to the public first before Andrews or Harvey themselves were able to do it. So it's not exactly Boras's fault, but I do agree. But, you know, it is Scott Boras. He's probably the most powerful agent out there in sports, maybe along the lines of where Rosenhaus was a few years ago. But I do agree that agents shouldn't have that much pull, especially when it's not a contract year. Maybe more so if it was a contract year, but that's not the case in Harvey.
Right. When you two legendary broadcasters, Dick Enberg is definitely going to be calling his final season next year. He announced that already. He is the television voice of the San Diego Padres. Vin Scully is coming back, but says, hey, realistically, he hasn't said it's his last, but he said realistically he's got to think of it that way. What does baseball lose in having two voices like that, possibly 13 months from now, no longer calling games in this league?
I mean, they lose, and you brought up Fran Fischer before, a guy that meant a lot to the college football broadcasting landscape, and that's the same case with Scully and Enberg. I know as all of us know, me, you, and Jason, we all know that Scully is very, very renowned for the way he broadcasts. And I think with both of them is it takes away the golden era of baseball and what the game used to be back then, simplified times, especially with both of those. I know, in my opinion, you know who they are. Their voices stick out. They simplify the game. They tell you like it is. It's going to be unfortunate, but unfortunately, guys like Enberg and Scully can't stick around as long as we would love to.
They're in their 80s, yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that both got to go, you know, after the same season. It would be better if they could stagger them at different times. But two legendary voices, and it's not like they didn't. They and the fans of the Padres and the Dodgers, or in general, just fans of baseball, didn't get their money's worth with both of them on the air.
Well, again, Enberg is definite. He has said no question. Dick Enberg has said without question. This is his final season. I mean, 2016 is his final season. Scully has said he's coming back and hints that, hey, look, realistically, he has to think of it that way because he is 87. He's going to turn 88 in November. So he hasn't, it's not definitive, but it certainly gives you that feeling.
And I do know in the case of Scully that he only sticks close by. He doesn't travel on the road.
That's right.
He pretty much stays within California and everything. So the guy's been in baseball for decades now, and I think he's as much as people would hate to admit it, and as much as the baseball landscape doesn't want to show for it, Scully, as much we would love for him to have a few more years, but yeah. If next year is his final year, then it's a good choice for him.
Yeah, it was on this date in 1957, the Dodgers moved from Brooklyn to Los Angeles. Vin Scully did that game in Brooklyn. That tells you everything you need to know right there. He did that game in Brooklyn. You always look at analytics and sabermetrics. What are a couple of interesting ones that you have noted in the last couple of weeks that might be fun to talk about?
Well, the one thing that I'll note, and it pertains to two guys, and I'll just leave it there, is Joey Votto's had a phenomenal second half of the year. I don't know if it's going to be along the lines of analytics and sabermetrics. It's more on base percentage, slugging percentage. So that's more the average fan knows what they are. But Joey Votto's had a second half, unprecedented second half of this ever since Barry Bonds in 2004, when he had set the record for most walks in a season. No one's had a better slugging percentage and on-base percentage in the second half than Joey Votto at this point. Guys like Ted Williams and Babe Ruth had slugging percentages and on-base percentages. You can combine them for OPS like Votto in the second half. So that's when you can compare Joey Votto to the likes of Williams and Babe Ruth, legends of the game. That's saying something. And the other thing I noticed is, and it's not really sabermetric heavy. I hate to not answer your question, but what Jake Arrieta has done in the second half, I think it's a 0.48 ERA in the second half. It's, if it stands, it's going to be the best second half ERA since earned runs have been counted since 1913. So that's something to keep an eye on. He's probably got two or three more starts down the stretch, but that's two things that have caught my eye in terms of numbers wise. I hate to not answer your question, but those are definitely the two things that have definitely caught my eye over the past few weeks.
Ross, always a pleasure. Thanks a lot for the time today. Appreciate it.
No problem, Steve, and I'll talk to you soon. And we still got some races going in the majors, so we'll definitely keep an eye on all those.
Absolutely. Magic numbers right now. Blue Jays 8, Royals 2, Rangers 8, Mets 5, Cardinals 7, and the Dodgers 5. Those are the magic numbers. So, thanks so much, Ross.
Nope.
That's Ross Insana. Pirates are playing right now. Matter of fact, the Bucks are playing Colorado at Coors Field. Were they serve Yuengling? Just kidding.
I don't think so.
You don't think Peter Coors? It's 2-1 Colorado at the end. In the bottom of the fourth, the Rockies are still batting. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is extending their free ride 0% financing for 72 months program, plus they're bringing back the popular Sign and Go. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new 2015 Ford Focus. Sign and Go for only $199 a month or take $3,000 off plus 0% for 72 months. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new 2015 Ford Fusion. Sign and Go for only $215 a month or take $1,500 off plus 0% for 72 months. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new 2015 Ford Escape. Sign and Go for only $239 a month or take $2,750 off plus 0% for 72 months. Sunbury Motors has over 150 new Ford trucks available with savings up to $10,500. Choose from over 100 new 2015 F-150s and take up to $5,500 off plus 0% financing for 72 months. SMC is going to make September the month to remember by selling 75 new Fords in the next 10 days. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving Central PA for over a century. Sale prices include rebates, tax and tags extra.
Did I jump the gun on you, or?
Huh?
Exactly.
Just letting the, you know, moment to continue before the bump music flows in.
No, would you made a mistake?
No, I just hit it. It just didn't start right away.
Yeah. All right.
The orchestra was a little delayed.
The Shamoke and Dan Orchestra, not there. That deal. Come on. I understand what kind of show you're on here, man.
Well, they're holding out, actually. They heard you may be able to renegotiate your contract early, so they're holding out.
Ragnar.
They're looking for $20,000 a show.
Well, I'm willing to give it to him. I mean, we'll just take a little bit out of what you're making. We should be good.
There you go. Should take care of it all.
There you go. Great to have you with us. Pirates are playing today with Colorado. They were losing 2-1 in the fourth inning of play at beautiful Coors Field. But still in the bottom of the fourth, and Colorado's still batting. It's 2-1. The Pirates have won the first three games of that series. They won four in a row, and they just haven't been able to make up a lot of ground. I mean, the magic number for the Cardinals is 7. As I said, they can get somehow win today, do some damage against the Cubs this weekend. They could get it down to 2, and if they do that, then they got a shot. As for the Phillies, okay, I think we covered that.
Have they been eliminated from next year's postseason yet?
Oh, you're just cruel. You're just cruel.
Is there any way that they don't have the worst record in baseball this year?
I don't know. I haven't even looked.
Yeah, I've stopped looking, too, somewhere around April. Let's see, 57-95...
It's kind of a low number.
Yeah, the team that has the closest wins would be 63-89. That would be the Rockies.
No, I don't think they have a shot.
Hey, do you remember what I said when the season started? I'm very close. I said the Phillies would not win 60 games. I'm not far.
Were they at 57?
57.
Wow.
57-95.
So if they win three more games, you're wrong.
That is correct.
And there's how many left in the year?
I want to say 8, but I'll have to look it up.
It's got to be more than that. It's got to be
maybe 11.
So if they go 3-8, you're wrong.
All right. Well, let's see. Tonight is the Marlins. That could be a win. Then 3 with the Nats. All right, that's done. There's two with the Mets, and is it? No, three with the Mets, and then they end with the Marlins. Oh, this is doable. This is doable. It's those two Marlins series that are going to cause the biggest issue for that prediction to come true. Only here. Marlins are 28-47 on the road, but Philadelphia is 33-42 at home. Phillies and the Marlins have a three-game set to end the season in October at Philadelphia.
See, the Phillies are playing October baseball.
That's true.
Ye of little faith.
That's true.
Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Pirates have come back to tie their game as Decker knocked in Josh Harrison in the fifth inning. Decker starting in place today of Polanco.
You said that was not going to be a great pitcher's game.
2-2.
Yeah, but it's only, what, the second?
Bottom of the fifth inning.
Oh, it's a lot further along. I thought it was only the first or second. It's a lot further along then.
Big difference for Colorado today is that Arenado is in the game today.
He didn't play last night.
I think he's a little bit better than the guy they put in last night.
Yeah.
So. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. There you go. Kevin Herr is here. We mentioned that this would be the half hour where he takes over the show. So, go ahead.
You know, you always do this when I'm not prepared. See, I could have prepared a lot better. Then we could have done this.
Oh.
It would have been a great show.
You'd have come up with the same insane stuff you always come up with. So what's the difference?
Why would I do anything different? I mean, I got to stay consistent.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I do have something, though.
Thursday Night Football tonight is the Giants and the Redskins. You know, the Redskins are 1-1. They come in, they win this game tonight at the Meadowlands. They're 2-1, and they start to put a little pressure on the Cowboys, who don't have Tony Romo, who don't have Dez Bryant, probably won't have Jason Witten this weekend. And so for the Redskins, if they were to win tonight, well, I think that might just change a few things going on. Could change it dramatically. I mean, they're 1-1 on the year. It's a good win over the Rams last week. And the Giants are 0-2 and should be 2-0, but aren't. And that is, I mean, they play well for 57 minutes and they can't close the deal. And Eli Manning has struggled as the season has gone along. This is after the huge contract that he just picked up. Stanford's at Oregon State tomorrow night. That should be a pretty good one. And yeah, that's the, you know, college football just heading into its weekend here. Corey Clement out 4 to 6 weeks. Surgery for Wisconsin. That's their big back out. The financial settlement between Texas and Steve Patterson has been approved, so he's out as athletic director. Cardale Jones stays as the quarterback for Ohio State. I still firmly believe that Cardale Jones is without question the best pro prospect on that roster, but that JT Barrett is the best college quarterback on that roster. But that's just me from the outside looking in. And Baylor has taken its offensive coordinator, suspended him for the first half of this week's game because he happened to be at the Tulsa-Oklahoma game, which is a violation. And there you go.
I saw this stat for tonight's game, and I thought it was interesting. The Redskins tight end Jordan Reed has 145 receiving yards, second in efficiency in tight ends. So he runs 49 snaps with a route run and averages almost 3 yards per route run. You compare that with a guy like Gronkowski, who's 2.5, running 83 snaps with a route and 207 yards. I thought that was an interesting breakdown and a stat that I hadn't really heard about before in you know, trying to compare tight ends.
So, in other words, you're saying Gronkowski's better than Reed?
No, I'm saying right now in efficiency, Reed is better than Gronkowski per route.
Okay, you want to know which one's better? Rack up a tape.
Listen, I'm just statistically per
route,
Jordan Reed right now is playing better. Now, do I want Jordan Reed or Rob Gronkowski on my fantasy team as a tight end? Of course it's Gronkowski. But when you factor in how many routes he runs, Jordan Reed is actually doing the most with what he's got. He's only running 49 routes. Gronkowski runs twice as many almost. And he's actually doing more per route. That was an interesting statistic.
So how many yards has Julian Edelman picked up because they've doubled Rob Gronkowski?
I don't see that stat right now.
I'm sorry. Didn't mean to bring it up.
You just can't let me have one stat, can you? You just can't do it. How about this one?
Jordan Reed, by the way, was the quarterback against Penn State in the Outback Bowl. He's from Connecticut. He's from Weathersfield, Connecticut.
Okay. That's an interesting fun fact. Okay. Best,
you know what?
The Redskins have two of the top 15 running backs with yards after first contact in Matt Jones and Alfred Morris. Both averaging 2.4 yards after contact.
And averaging 2.7 yards for first contact.
I don't know about that part. I have to look at that one. I'm not sure about that. I think Alfred Morris might be averaging just a few more yards than that statistically.
Morris, I like Morris. He's a good running back. Brandon Shrive, that's a good pick as offensive lineman, first-round pick. I like that pick. He can play guard, tackle. I think I have him playing guard right now. Kirk Cousins just needs to avoid the big mistake. That's the big key in tonight's game. The big key in tonight's game is which of the two quarterbacks avoids the big mistakes. Eli Manning's made mistakes. Kirk Cousins makes mistakes. But again, if the Redskins win, they're 2-1 and a half game back of the wounded Cowboys. Remember, we're not quite to the quarter pole yet, but it's Thursday Night Football. CBS had the number one Thursday night lineup, their comedy lineup 2 years ago. They had the chance to jump at Thursday Night Football despite already having the number one rated lineup on Thursday night, and they jumped at it. And the ratings are great. People are watching. Now, we could talk about the quality of the game, the fact that you feel like you're run over by a Mack truck after playing Sunday, and the recovery time is bad, and maybe the quality of the game isn't quite what it is on a Sunday. But people watch. And what's happened with this Sunday night game? Well, the Thursday opener, Steelers and Patriots, followed by the second Sunday game, which is Giants and Cowboys, followed by Seahawks and Packers, had done something that's never happened before in the history of Sunday Night Football. Their first three games on NBC have all been 16-plus rated games. 16-plus rated games. It's like our friend Pete who called from, who said he was from Youngstown about Johnny Manziel and the Tebow thing on Friday. He called and he says, you know, he said, what people going to watch? I said, well, I don't know, Packers, Seahawks. Oh, nobody's going to watch that. Oh, I don't know. It's the number one rated show for the week.
That's what I was going to, you know what, I was going to look that up and I didn't. I wondered, I thought it was interesting. Fox was really doing the best they could at using their NFL audience and transitioning it to the Emmys, which went right after the OT. And their doubleheader.
Lowest rated Emmy show ever.
Wow. And I mean, they were doing all the stuff right. They were trying to get, you know, use their NFL audience to segue it into the Emmys.
Lowest rated Emmys show ever.
See, I think that's because there's not much broadcast TV winning Emmys anymore, but that's a whole different subject.
You know what? A lot of people outside of the Academy Awards, a lot of the stuff's lost its luster over time. Seemingly. By the way, the Academy Awards are a bit different, but yeah.
Well, but even those, there's half those movies I've never even heard of, let alone seen.
Well, that's because they involve culture.
Oh, well, that explains it. I don't do culture movies. I'm not paying $12 for culture.
You gotta give me credit, at least I'm quick.
It was. Hey, I do have one more fun fact for you for tonight's Redskins Giants game.
Oh, I can't wait.
The key for the Redskins.
Guy, you're the only guy in America that thinks Jordan Reed's better than Rob Gronkowski.
I did not say that. I said per route, but that's okay. All right, here we go.
Per route.
Manning. The key for the Redskins defense is to make Manning hold the ball more than 2.5 seconds. If he throws the ball in 2.5 seconds or less, he's 78% completion. If he holds it longer, he's 31% completion. 31. That's a drastic difference.
You know what that means, right?
Yeah, if he holds the ball longer, it's not going to be complete, and the coverage is better.
Yeah, that's because the coverage is good. That's why he's holding it longer.
But it's a 31% completion rating. Now, Cousins on the other side, he's 86%, and when he holds it for 2.5 seconds or more, he's still 50% completion rate.
That's fabulous. He's one of two.
Actually, Manning is 8 of 26 when holding the ball longer than 2.5 seconds.
You do know you're thinking too much, right?
It's still fun. That's some fun stats. Somebody went to a lot of time to come up with those stats, and darn it, I'm going to read them.
No. It's still worthless. Just like war wins above replacement. Oh, okay. How many wins above replacement was Reggie Jackson over George Hendrick? Oh, that's right. With George Hendrick, they won the World Series. Okay, I just want to make sure.
Okay, here, you'll like this one. Odell Beckham Jr., he is on pace this year for 752 yards after catch.
Yeah? Okay. And DeMarco Murray's on pace to get 88 yards rushing for the year.
Also true right now. Golden Tate led the NFL last year with 709 yards after catch.
And what did that get him?
No, did he go to the Pro Bowl?
Who knows? I have no idea.
752 yak, by the way, is the most the league has seen since Wes Welker in 2008.
Fabulous.
There you go. Now you are fun fact and ready to go. You don't even have to watch the pregame now because I've given you all the stuff that they were going to give you in the pregame.
I wasn't going to anyway.
And Jim Nance is fine with that because he doesn't really do much in the pregame.
Nor should he. He's got a game to call. Let somebody else yak. Nothing wrong with that. So.
Yeah. Hello, friends.
Tonight, Char Moret will be on the show along with James Franklin. That is our lineup tonight. Field hockey and football tonight on the Penn State Coaches Show featuring James Franklin, presented by Pepsi. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome. Steve Jones with you, working with the only man in America who believes that Jordan Reed is better than Rob Gronkowski at tight end. What were you saying?
I said he is running efficient routes. And it's a compliment because he's actually running routes more efficiently than Gronkowski is statistically. Does that make him a better player than Gronkowski? No.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. We can rack up a video here and we can...
You don't have, I believe me, I saw enough of Gronkowski on Thursday night a couple of weeks ago. That'll last me for the rest of the season and beyond.
Just wanted to make sure that you remembered in no uncertain terms.
Oh, I remember all too well.
Okay. Who scares you more, Gronkowski or Captain Efficiency?
Right now, anyone who runs a route except the 49ers.
There you go.
Yeah, how bad must the... I mean, seriously, I'm a Steeler fan. How bad must the 49ers passing offense be if they can't rack up yards against the Steelers defense and secondary?
Well, I don't know. They're 1-1, and I don't know what part of this happens to do with a 1 o'clock start and a West Coast team. I mean, the West Coast teams, have traditionally struggled going to play in the East Coast anyway.
Well, they didn't look good in the first half. You're right.
Okay, that does come into play in all of this. That's why I was interested in the Penn State-San Diego State. I was wondering, I kept thinking, they can't make that game a noon game. They're not going to make San Diego State play at 9 o'clock in the morning. You know? Now, the game is going to be at 12:30 Pacific time, 3:30 Eastern time on Saturday. That'll help San Diego State somewhat. Not completely, because usually they play night games anyway at San Diego State. So it's going to be earlier for them anyway. But
I always wondered how Hawaii handles that. I mean, they don't come to the East Coast very often, but, man, that's got to be the worst.
I don't think they come to the East Coast at all. I mean, well, they did play Ohio State. I should say they played Ohio State in Columbus. And that game was an early game. I think that was a noon game, which would be 7 a.m. in Hawaii. And actually, they battled them for about 2.5 quarters. Ended up being 38-0 for a final.
I don't know.
They did play in Columbus in the Eastern time zone.
Ohio State, there's a chink in that armor.
Well, I mean, there are a couple things with them. Number one, I've said this several times, Cardale Jones, I think, is an NFL caliber quarterback, but I'm not so sure he's the best quarterback on a college roster. I still think it's JT Barrett. And I think that when they got rolling last year with Barrett, they settled into a style that really helped them. I'm not so sure Cardale Jones settles them into the style that they need to win games with. I don't know. It's only three games in. Remember, Virginia Tech, at Virginia Tech, mind you, and with Brewer in the game, led. What made life easier for Ohio State in that opener on Labor Day night was when Brewer got hurt. All right. Enjoy the game tonight. Remember, one person thinks Jordan Reed's way better and more efficient than Rob Gronkowski.
I'm telling you right now, if he scores a touchdown in the first 5 minutes, I'm spam texting you.